Hallelujah. Footnote chapter 4, verse 7. We'll be looking at the best of two worlds. Say the best of two worlds. Say the best of two worlds. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 7. But refuse fame and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Verse 8. For bodily exercise profits little, for godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. And we look at the word godliness, and we said godliness is a doctrine. It's not a conduct, it's a response to the revelation that is found in Christ. In other words, you cannot be godly if you do not have epignosis of Jesus. You can't be godly if you can't, or maybe let's put it like this, you cannot exercise godliness without revelation. 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, every time you see the word mystery, mysterion, it refers to the Old Testament. Great is what is hidden in the Old Testament and revealed unto us. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was made manifest in the flesh. In other words, as a man. So that's in our response to God, we respond in Christ. You can't have godliness in someone having do's and don'ts. You know, someone saying, well, thou shalt not touch this and shalt not touch that. You can't have godliness. You know, great is the mystery of godliness. God was made manifest. And we said, the greatest revelation, in fact, the only revelation of God that we have is in a man. The man, Christ Jesus. God was made manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, justified in the spirit, pardon me, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. We said the word godliness is from the word husebia, H-U-S-E-B-E-I-A. It means to respond to a deity. So our response to God is in who? Christ. Are you there? Our response to God is in Christ. He's not the God that answers by fire. That's not our God. That's not our Father. Jesus said that much in Luke 9. These folks, they said, Lord, would you command fire to come down to consume these people just like Elijah? That looks new. That looks cool. They were quoting the Bible and saying, God, I mean, Jesus, can you just be like Elijah? And the Bible says he rebuked. And he says, do you not know what spirit that you are of? Praise God. You cannot have godliness with the law. You cannot have godliness in condemnation. So what happened? Jesus stopped them. He rebuked them. He said, no, that's not it. Don't you know the spirit that you are of? Luke 9, verse 54, 55, 56. I mean, how would any reasonable Christian follow Elijah? Elijah is quite a confused person. I told you, he said, there was the fire and God was not there. He said there was the wind. He ran in there. Wind International Ministries. God wasn't there. Fire, apostolic grace for the nation's ministry. He ran there and God wasn't there. Then he said, Evangelist, earthquake. Earthquake. Grace. No. Earthquake, glory, ministry. In God, what's your Bible? You have the Bible, sir? Can you forget my Bible song here? Excuse me? You're going to enjoy the service of the Bible. So, he said, you have earthquake, glory, ministries. God wasn't there. Then, he says, power of the winds. Revelation ministries. And God was not there. How would you follow a speculator? Matthew 17, 5. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Elijah, Elijah, Moses, hear him. Hallelujah. So godliness can only be found in Christ. Praise God. Paul calls them, said, having a form of godliness. 2 Timothy 3:5. A form of godliness. The word form is the Greek word morphosis. M-O-R-P-H-O-S-I-S. It refers to something being a dummy or something that, you know, it looks like it. Same word used by John when it says the Holy Ghost descended on Jesus bodily in the form of a dove. In other words, there was no dove. He just had a description. So some guys can have a wonderful sense of morality, a wonderful sense of, you know, they say, well, that guy is a pious brother. You say, why is he pious? You say, well, he's pious because his tie is like skipping rope. She's pious. She wears no earrings. She doesn't like gold. Interesting. Is it? But then you tell the fellow, you are justified in Christ. Your sins are forgiven forever. Never, God forbid, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Glory, glory. Why was God manifest in the flesh? For you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what he says I am, I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. See, humility is not wearing what I'm wearing. Like, I start with myself, so you won't think I'm talking about anybody. Am I right? Humility is not wearing what I'm wearing. I've already put myself in issue. Humility is not wearing white. Humility is not saying, bless you, it is well. That's not humility. Humility is not being accessible as a pastor. I got there as a pastor. Anytime you go to his church, you can always greet him. He's always accessible. Love him. Humility is in your response to God's word. It's in your response to God's word. James 1:21. Laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save the soul. Now, what was the engrafted word that James was talking about? Was the engrafted message. James 1:5. He says, let him ask of God who gives unto all men liberally and doesn't find fault. You have to receive that with meekness, that God doesn't find fault. Amen. James 1:13, let no man say, when I am tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. If you receive that, then you are humble. So I don't think that God can just be all good. You are proud. What is the engrafted word? Every good, do not err, my beloved brethren, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, down from the Father of light. James 1:17, in whom there is no variableness, neither of shadow of turning. You know, it's good to hear that and say that's about God. But of his own will, glory, glory, begat he us. Woo! Of his own will begat he us. That we shall be a kind of the first fruits of his own creature. So we are the best of God. Say, it me? Be humble. Be humble. Tell everybody, be humble. Say, be humble. We think humility is saying, Lord, we are nothing before you. That's pride. Lord, you seem so far away. A million miles of television today. You know the song? General. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You can use, or you are anything. That's not humility. That's pride. Praise God. Something that may... That song has not escaped me for you. Someone told me, I think you like that song. Something that makes me come into your presence. We know that thing. It's called ignorance. Hallelujah. That's what makes you come. That thing that you're looking for is ignorant. And what he says, I am. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in man. So you can see God in an atmosphere. You're going to see him in man. You'll say, you see God's an atmosphere. So for full, God's an atmosphere. God is here. Then the whole place is dark. When I used to act dramas, then I used to act, sometimes I act the devil. Why are you looking at me? I act the devil. So every time I want to talk, I mean, you know where we act those dramas? After finishing the drama, they'll say, brethren, you know what we have just acted? Let us cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. That the things that we have acted today will not come to pass in Jesus' name. And they used to pray for me more because I used to miss the rapture. There was only one time they acted a drama and I wasn't missing the rapture and I didn't act it well. But I got this ones well. Every time I'll miss the rapture, you know, and I'll be part of those. I've gotten 666 over 10 times. And so, they'll say, God is my God. And that's God. Oh, Jesus is, verily, verily, I say unto you. Holy Spirit.
Oh, are you God?
And devil is, King Kong. Hallelujah. Are you still there? You know what? The greatest manifestation of the devil is in man. You see, all those movies where you see one black guy carrying a fork, that's not the devil. That's a cartoon character. If you have ever cast out demons before, no, not the ones I told you on Sunday. Remember on Sunday? Was it Sunday I told you? When I was saying, come on! I've ever seen in the Bible, when demons are cast out, the person is calm. But in these theaters, when demons are cast out, the lady's hair is all over. If she's yellow, she's black. So, what's happened? You just did deliverance for her. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Amen. What is godliness? God revealed in the flesh. You see it. And we respond. Hallelujah. We respond to the revelation of God in Christ. He says, and denying the power thereof, to disown, having a form of godliness, and denying the power thereof. Another word used for the word having the form of godliness is in Romans 2:20. A form of knowledge used for the law. He calls the law a form of knowledge. Romans 2:20. Having a form of knowledge. So, let's look at a couple of things we've been saying. We said, and I've asked you to look for it for me. Have you found it? Where it is in the Bible that when a believer dies, what we call die, he goes to heaven. Have you found it? Who has found it for? The day you find it, I'll hand over this church to you. To be the pastor. Because it's just an idea that we have. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Heaven is in Christ. Glory to God. You see that? Heaven is where? In Christ. You see, we think that what God's done in Christ is not, he's not exactly everything. So, a man who is in Christ comes to church. And then he's in the service. He's waiting. He's waiting for the man of God to come. He's waiting. He's waiting for the law. And so the man of God also fulfills his desire. He comes with the rest of your bodyguards. So that the anointing will not be stained. He said, God has something to say.
Because he wants to say something. God has something to say. And when we're through with the service, you say, how many of you are the temple of God? But I thought you were waiting for God just now. But you're the temple of God, waiting for God. Amen. So, where is heaven? Heaven is found in Christ. Listen carefully, we're going to look at some things now. Heaven is found in Christ. Pay attention. The epistles have the word heaven 142 times. 142 times. Listen carefully now. In John's gospel, let's see a couple of things. John's gospel, 142 times. In John's gospel, now, with other things attached to it, you have 212. John's gospel, John 1:51. Praise God. I said, praise God. Jesus said, verily, I say unto you, after you shall see heaven open, and the Son of God ascending and descending, angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. John 1:51. John 3:13. Watch this. Heaven open. Now, when he said heaven open, do you think he meant, listen carefully now, you must get it right. Do you think heaven open meant heaven was closed? No. Whenever you hear heaven open, it means you see in heaven. And every time people saw heaven, they were on earth. Isn't that not true? Come on. John the Baptist said, I saw heaven open. And he wasn't talking about a place. And I saw the Spirit of God descending on him. Was that outside his earth? Come on. And he had a voice saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Was that outside the earth? I guess it. So when you hear heaven open, he's not talking about a gate. He's talking about a revelation of the unseen. You mustn't miss camp meeting. Is that clear? You know, don't miss camp meeting. Praise God. We're going to have some good time teaching. So he said heaven. Look at John 3:13. John 3:13. No man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, who is where? In heaven. In us. I thought heaven was somewhere you travel to. Verse 27. A man can receive nothing except is given him from heaven. 3:31 also. John 6:31. This is very vital. Look at it. John 6:31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. He's the bread from heaven and earth. So he wasn't talking about heaven, a place you go to when you die. No. Pay attention. Verse 32 again. Verse 38. John 3. John 6. I came down from heaven, and not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Then John 6:41. John 6:41 again. John 6:41. Yep. John 6:41. Yep. Am I right? No. Yep. John 6:41. Yep. John 12:28. Okay, see John 6:58. John 6:58. Then John 7. No. John 12. Sorry. John 12:28. John 12:28. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. A voice from heaven. You know, that already indicates to you that there was no distance. For you to hear it, it means there was no distance. Am I making sense here? That means you don't even have to go out of where you are of the earth to hear heaven, or to see heaven. You don't have to go out of here. Is that very clear? You don't have to go out of here to see heaven or to hear heaven. So, where is heaven? Heaven is in Christ, in the person of Jesus. Heaven is in Christ. So when we pray and we expect something to come from heaven, yeah, heaven here. Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And where do you use the authority? Whatever you bind where? On earth. So where will be the kingdom of heaven? Here on earth. Whatever you bind in heaven is bound on earth. Whatever you lose in heaven, whatever you lose on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is loose in heaven. In other words, these things are done where? In heaven on earth. Praise God. Are you still there? So, in our minds, I've addressed this on Sunday, I'll just go over it again. Look at Colossians 2. The theme that has affected many of us is that we have a mentality about God in a place. And that's why I started walking to this service and is looking for God. Because he thinks God is in a place. Colossians 2:8. You learn some? Colossians 2:8. Amen. You are not going anywhere. You are where you should be. Praise God. Colossians 2:8. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you. The word spoil means to deprive you of what belongs to you. Through philosophy and vain deceit. Philosophy and what? Vain deceit. After the rudiments or tradition of men and the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Notice that. Beware. So say beware. The word beware is the Greek word blepo. It means to look at it. Discern. Blepo. Look around. Don't let anyone drop anything to you, even in a song, subtly. Beware. Let anyone use philosophy. So, but are you now saying, you know, people you also begin to reason, I get your point. He's spoiling you with vain philosophy. And then he begins to, it's not reasonable that after all, you know, when I received the gospel, it was just logical. It will appeal to my senses to tell me, you know, now you're a new creature. You can't wear this AirPod again. You know, now you're a new creature. You cannot be wearing jeans. You know, now you're a new creature. This shirt does not glorify God. You know, now you're a new creature. You know, it just makes sense. It's philosophical. Right. If that's sense. If you tell me I've changed, then I should change. Do you get my logic? If you say I have changed, then I should change. Makes sense. So I'm going a new man. And someone says something I didn't like, and I give him back an answer quickly. I said, my God, back in the old man. Because it didn't make sense. So it looks sensible. It looks sensible to say, you want to talk to God like this? How can you say you are coming to the presence of God like this? All made up like Jezebel. How many of you have seen Jezebel before? Who has seen Jezebel? Just like some people giving us excess from the book of life. Have you seen it before? Excess from the book of life. Have you seen it? It's on Amazon. You can buy it. It's free. Amazon or what is it? It looks just logical. How can you say you're going to the presence of God? Say, brethren, we are in the presence of God. Oh, that's good. You know, there's no verse of scripture to say close your eyes. Everybody who prayed in scripture opened their eyes. I'm not saying you should open your eyes in the service. Say, close your eyes. God is here. What's wrong with you? Even Elijah said, and he was not there. He looked. God is here. How can you call this one a Christian? See the makeup.
It's illiteracy that is bothering you. No, some doctrines are based on exposure. Some doctrines is exposure. Don't blame the preacher. It's how far you have gone.
There was a particular church that they told them not to wear trousers. So the pastor now went to that branch abroad in the US. So he took some people with him. And so they saw the people that welcomed him wore trousers. And they said, sir, these people are wearing trousers. He said, you know, there's so much, this place is very cold.
So it's atmospheric holiness that we're doing.
Hallelujah.
That is vain deceit. Vain philosophy.
It doesn't mean, it's after the traditions of men. Hallelujah. Look at Colossians 2. Let no man, verse 18, beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshipping of angels. I've told you that word worshipping of angels, angelos treskia, refers to the law. It was the law. The worship of angels is to obey the law. Because the law was given by who? Angels. So intending to obey the law for righteousness is the worship of angels. Are you still there? The worship of angels, angelos treskia. That's what it means in the Greek. He says, enter into those things which he has not seen, verily proffered by his fleshly mind. Because what was he saying in 17? Which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is where? Christ. So every time you are trampling with substance, with shadow, you are what? Worshipping angels. You are eating bread as the body of Jesus. And you are not ashamed. That this is the body of Jesus. Will somebody call your body bread and you are happy? And you are drinking wine. Tasty time. Because they can't afford the real one. You know. Verse 19. Not holding the head from which all the body and joints and bands have been nourished. Ministers and knit together increase with the increase of God. Wherefore, let's take 20 together. Let's go. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. Why hast thou living in the world? Are you subject to ordinance? Let's take 21 together. Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Hallelujah. So the danger in these things is that it keeps you away from reality. When you have oil as the Holy Ghost, or that's even anointing. Oil as anointing. There was a guy in UI back then. When we were in his room, so we wanted to fry plantain. So my friend, become bishop then, Pastor Larry Amuson, he took out the bottle of oil, and as he was frying the plantain, the guy said, "Ah! You are cooking with the Holy Ghost!" Ah! Very silly guy. You get it? So they take you away from your inheritance. Anyone that tells you the Holy Ghost is somewhere, you know, wherever they say the Holy Ghost is and not in you, is to deprive you of what belongs to you. No apostle taught the Holy Ghost in our midst. Not one. The Holy Ghost is in us. Not one. The Holy Ghost is not in this place. Whatever happens in this place is what we do in the Holy Ghost. Does it make sense? So there's nothing special about an atmosphere. An atmosphere is what we brought out ourselves. Are you still there? So you have ordinances. Ordinances. Now, look, let's get back to the issue of heaven. Quickly, look at this. In the book of Acts, the word heaven was used 24 times. 24 times in the book of Acts. 24. In the book of Acts. And two critical areas we must see is Acts 2:30-31 that says Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God and he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. That's interesting. He said he shed forth what they saw and hear, and he wasn't talking about he shed it forth from above. That's good. Pay attention now. In the epistles, listen now. In the epistles, okay, let me just have this one. The word heavens in the plural is 13 times. 13 times in the New Testament Greek. That is from Matthew to Revelation. And Paul has it just two times. 2 Corinthians 5:1 and Ephesians 4:10. I'm going to explain all this much later, but I'm just giving you some facts. Now look at this. In the epistles, particularly Paul, you have the word heaven 20 times. And not once did Paul use heaven for a place. Not once did Paul use heaven for a place. Not one. Not one did Paul refer to heaven as where you go to when you die. The way that doctrine entered the church is still very mysterious. Now, like I said on Sunday, don't ever imagine I'm Jehovah's Witness. I'm not. I'm not Jehovah's Witness either. And we're not saying the same thing, but just pay attention. Alright? Are you there? You know, religion has a way of tying you. A man said this one time. He said, well, I like to preach about Jesus and his love. He said, but to make people disciplined, I give them some little law. So that they will conform. That's absolute trash. No one sent you to do that. Now, one key word that we're going to examine this evening is what Paul used oftentimes to explain heaven. It is the term heavenly. What did I say? Say heavenly. Say heavenly. Say heavenly. Now, the word heaven in the Greek is the Greek word, Uranos. I'll spell it for you, you already know it. O-U-R-A-N-O-S. O-U-R-A-N-O-S. Now, to say heavenly, listen now, is the word Epouranos. I'll spell it for you. A-E-P-O-U, E-P-O-U-R-A-N-I-O-S. E-P-O-U-R-A-N-I-O-S. Now, if you know language very well, that means there are two words together. Okay? You know, language has two words together. So the word epi, which was added to the word horaneos. The word epi means from or off. But better scholars will say it fits into. From or off, or that which fits into. So Paul uses the word heavenly. Now let's see where Jesus used it. John 3:12. It's going to make sense to you shortly. John 3:12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 3:12. While the entire epistle and Jesus' promise of the Spirit focus on the word in, many teachers focus on outside. Even our songs, even some of us, myself, I've not gotten rid of many of those songs that is focusing on the outside. Come. Holy, come. You know, some, we just see something, you know, and it's on the outside. But look at this, John 3:12. Jesus said to Nicodemus, I have told you earthly things, and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Things that fit into heaven. So the things that fit into heaven. Now, what was Jesus calling things that fit in heaven? Pay attention now. You mustn't lose this. John 3:3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. So the first thing that fits into heaven is man. Born again. He fits in heaven. He cannot see the kingdom. And then Nicodemus was also, but then how is that possible? If a man, will a man grow whole and get into his mother's womb? And then Jesus said, verily, verily, the second time. Except a man is born of the water, which refers to the Spirit, he cannot enter. Oh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Mother, not that I say, you must be born again. For the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof. You can't tell where it's coming from, neither where it's going to. So it's everyone. So I say everyone that is born of the Spirit. Glory to God. So what is the heavenly thing Jesus was talking about? The new birth. Being born again is heavenly. Hallelujah. Anybody born again here? Oh my God, nobody. Anybody born again here? So, that experience, that person is heavenly. That means you fit in the heaven. Glory, glory. You fit in there. Glory, glory, glory. You fit in there. Heavenly. Things that belong to heaven. Quickly this one. 1 Corinthians 15:40. Paul uses it two times for the glorified body. 1 Corinthians 15:40. 1 Corinthians 15:48 two times. 1 Corinthians 15:49. Verse 48, 49. But very importantly, and turn to this quickly. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, or every spiritual blessing in the heavenly. Oh, glory. I've heard people say, what he's saying is that the things that are us, they are in heaven. They are, because they are in heaven, we now need to translate them by currency. We want to change dollar to naira. Why? You know, the first reason why you will say that is that you have forgotten that you are heavenly. Hallelujah. The reason why you think you are bringing them down from one realm to another realm. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly. That is, they are in a form that fits in heaven. Where are they? In Christ. Hallelujah. Are you in church? A form that fits in heaven. Look at verse 20. Verse 19 says the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, Ephesians 1:19, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Oh, then in our mind, in heavenly means, Jesus goes very far from the earth, very far from the earth, very far from the earth. Then he sits there. Seated. That would have made sense till he said we are also seated. It would have made sense to think Jesus sits somewhere. But when he now says, you are seated in him, that changes the entire equation. Glory, glory, glory. Which he wrote in Christ when he raised him from death and set him his own right hand in the heavenly. That is, Jesus being said at the right hand of God is an heavenly fact. A non-material reality. You won't see any throne anywhere in the world, in the earthly world. He's not the king of any nation. He's not the king of any country. But he's the king that has all authority in the heaven. Ephesians 1:2. Are you there? So when you say the word seated, the word seated means what you possess. What is yours? It tells us in Ephesians 2:6 that we are seated together with him in Christ in the heavenly places. Notice the word places is italicized, so remove the word places, you know it's not talking about places. Every time you see the word heavenly places, the word places is in italics, that means it's not original. It's wrongly put in there because you can't be seated in places except you're an octopus. Hallelujah. Anyway, seated in heavenly places. He is seated in an heavenly way. Hallelujah. You know, we are seated now. Where are we seated? We are not seated on the chair. Oh, you are actually. But you know, you are walking and you are seated. You are walking and you are seated. You are seated, walking, praise God. Because what, where you are seated is heavenly. So I don't need to see you do like this to know you are seated. I need just to see you say, go in the name of Jesus. That means you are seated. Glory, glory, glory. When I see you pray in tongues, you are seated. When I see you lay hands on the sick, you are seated. Hallelujah. When I see you tell the devil, try your last shot, try your best shot, you are seated. Hallelujah. When I see you rejoice in the spirit, you are seated. When I see you walk in love, you are seated. Hallelujah. When I see you pray without preparation, without ceremony, you are seated. You say, we have come again. Where did you go before? We have come again. Father, we have come again. Holy Ghost, come and take control. Those songs, angels will just say, is this one the Son of God? Because they have seen God in Christ. Who is this? Holy Ghost, come and take control. Oh yeah. Good morning, Jesus. Angels are coming. You know, the Bible says that we teach angels, they say,
Wrong doctrine, wrong doctrine.
Angels say, that's wrong doctrine. I know you come from heaven, heaven above the Holy Spirit. She's on the throne.
People just don't like the Holy Ghost in them. Is that it's on the throne, in oil?
It's always somewhere else. It's always somewhere else. Is that in the man of God? Is that in the keyboard? Is that but to say it in them, their mouth is heavy. Allow my English. It just goes like that. It's everywhere but you.
And I'll send another comforter. They may abide in a bottle of oil forever. Even the spirit of truth in an handkerchief. He is in you, but it shall be outside you.
And what is his I am? So now look at something about the word heavenly. This is going to make sense now. In Ephesians 3:10, he says, now to the intent is now made known to the principalities and power. Where? In the heavenly. Principalities and power where? In the heavenly. That's don't forget the word places italicized. Might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So where's the church? The church is here. And he says, we are making known to non-earthly persons, which are angels, the manifold wisdom of God. So, come on, that should make sense to you. Angels who are here right now, see, I know angels enjoy saints coming to church. Do you know they do? They enjoy saints coming to church. They don't say, wow, this is a good service, man. That's a good service. That's a good service. You remember that Greek word? I do. You know, you know they enjoy it. But there's some place they say, what's going on here? Every spirit from your father's household. Say, what's going on here? Okay, so say, I'm a child of God. I'm no longer a slave. Even the way you sing it, you're a slave. I am a child. After singing that song, you say, you're going to put your hand on your head. My head, my head. Everything chasing me from my great grandfather. Hey, you tell people to say, I am the righteous of God in Christ. They'll say slowly, I am the righteous of God in Christ. So I'm born of God, I'm born of God. I have the life of God, I have the life of God. I'm holy, I'm blameless. When you say, I'm holy, I'm blameless. Now hold your head. Say, Father, 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 Father. Every spiritual cobweb navigating through every generational arrow that has been sent to me by the spiritual bow. I declare every spiritual peace that is grounding my destiny. Seriously, these guys are just Africans. Very innovative. Now he says, as we begin to show God's word, the angelic beings are learning from us. That means where we are is where they are. Hallelujah. Do you get this at all? Where we are is where they are. Glory, 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 glory. As we begin to speak God's word, the wisdom of God is made known. They say, wow. So how can we in the earth show angelic beings, no, we're not just earthly, we're actually heavenly. Glory, glory. How did angels see God? They saw him in a man. And they're always going to learn of God in man. Man is a university of angels. The time man decided to listen to angels, 3,000 people died. You don't like that, do you? Ephesians 6:12, are you learning something? Are you still there? Come on, Ephesians 6:12. That is going to make sense to you shortly. Look at this. He says, this Paul, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high. Notice what he says. Spiritual wickedness in high. Now, where is this spiritual wickedness? Where? They are in men. Let no one tell you there's something in the atmosphere. That's rubbish. Paul just told you in Ephesians 2, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works where? In the children of disobedience. Satan's activities is in man. It's not in a bird.
I know your destiny.
There was one time I was in school and I was lying down and I saw this crazy being came out from a wall. Man, looking horrible. And I just turned and I turned back and slept away. Because I said, Lord Jesus, Holy Ghost fire. Something is pushing me at night. I was like, gee, gee, gee.
So I said, what do I do? Just keep your emotions and sit back.
Praise God. Alright now. He says, amen. So when we talk about heavenly things, we're talking about the function of heaven which happens on earth. Philippians 2:10 says, Jesus was raised far above all principalities and power. This one says, he has exalted him, given the names above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, not at the mention of the name of Jesus, so at the name, not at the mention of your name, every knee shall bow. That at the name of Jesus, that is at the authority of Jesus, at what happened to Jesus when he rose from the dead, every knee shall bow of things were in heaven. Notice the word things are italicized. Every knee shall bow of in heaven and in earth and under the earth. Everything. In other words, he has authority everywhere in heaven. If Jesus' authority is in heaven, listen carefully. And then he says, we use that authority in heaven. That means heaven refers to the non-material world. Does it make sense to you? Heaven refers to the non-material world. Listen carefully. Paul talks about his glorified body. 2 Timothy 4:18. He says he will be delivered back into the heavenly kingdom. I'm talking about his glorified body. Now quickly. Hebrews 3:1. Hebrews 6:4 talks about heavenly things. I'll just take one more. Hebrews 8:5. Someone say heaven is here. Oh, come on, say heaven is here. Say, I function in heaven. Now. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Tongue is heavenly. Faith is heavenly. Love is heavenly. The gifts of the Spirit are heavenly. Forgiveness is heavenly. Peace is heavenly. So where is heaven? Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Joy is heavenly. I said, joy is heavenly. Righteousness is heavenly. Faith is heavenly. Come on. Grace is heavenly. Wisdom is heavenly. Direction is heavenly. And I am heavenly. Glory, glory, glory. And what he says I am. I have what he says I am. Say, I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I am. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Watch this now. It's going to make sense. Hebrews 8:5. Woo! Who serve unto the examples and the shadow of heavenly things? As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, said he, thou makest all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mouth. He says, what Moses built was heavenly. In other words, listen now. What Moses built was to show an heavenly action. Why in the world were they not performing it? If what Moses shows was heavenly, how in the world could the temple be what Moses saw? The writer of Hebrews says, the one Moses saw was Jesus. He is the one that will offer blood. He is the one that will offer the offering. He is the one that will perfect. And listen carefully now. He's not going to perfect a building. He won't shed his blood in a building. It's not entering into a building. He enters into us. He cleanses us. Our hearts are cleansed with His blood, by His Spirit. Hallelujah! What Moses told them to look forward to is a new creation man in Christ. What he saw heavenly was what Jesus did. Quickly look at Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9:23 now tells us what Hebrews 8:5 was saying. It's therefore necessary. Let's take verse 23 together. Let's go. It is therefore necessary that the patterns of things were in the heavens should be purified with this, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than this. Verse 24. For Christ is not entered into holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but the heaven itself to appear where? In the presence of God for us. Does the word for us make sense? For us. Someone says for us. It's for us. So where was the bloodshed? It was shed in us. Our hearts are cleansed by the blood. If there's anywhere that Jesus, where did Jesus cleanse? Jesus is not cleansed anywhere. He cleansed men. Hallelujah. Paul says, such were some of you, 1 Corinthians 6:11. Now you are washed. Glory, glory. Now you are washed. Now you're sanctified and justified by in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. So we see a believer says, I'm an adulterer, say you cannot be. Such were some of you. Hallelujah. Say, but my habit said, no, such were some of you. Woo! Oh, you are what? You are sanctified and you are justified. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. There's nothing wrong with this product. There may be something wrong with the usage of the product. Sometimes you don't know how to drive a car well. No, not true. But nothing wrong with the car. Sometimes they give you a phone. You begin to press it like so. You know, but there's nothing wrong with the phone. Because if there's something wrong with the phone, there's a problem with the manufacturer. Nothing wrong with my father. Nothing wrong with my father. If you call someone a dog, his dad must be a dog. Andrew? If you call someone naturally a sinner, his dad must be a sinner. But our dad isn't a sinner. Of his own will begat him. Of his own will begat him. As we come into that recognition, our conduct will change. Let no one put you under one silly pressure of a grace to access. Then your grace no access. It's a style to bring in second work of grace again. It's just grammar. They're just speaking big grammar. We have preached it before. It's a style. So the grace is now a grace. You now begin to access. Then the Spirit will now activate his early life. I am what he says I am. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Hallelujah. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba Father. For the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That means it's the same Spirit that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. We are not going to become. We are. The old man is crucified with Christ. We have no old man we are dealing with. We have no old man we are dealing with. We have no old man we are dealing with. We have no old man we are dealing with. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Oh, I'm what He says I am. I have what He says I have. And I can do what He says I can do. Hallelujah! Sit down 1 minute. Glory, glory. What He says I am. Hebrews 11:16. He says, Abraham, he's looking for a city, an heavenly city. Heavenly. What do you mean heavenly city? I told you city is not a place. It's the Greek word polis. P-O-L-I-S. It means a people. Hallelujah. Whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 12:22. We have come. We have come to Zion. To the city of the living God. To the heavenly Jerusalem. So, what is in the city? Beings. Then he says,
to the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. The spirits. The spirits. So what's in heaven? Our spirit. Glory, glory. We're in heaven now. So whatever he says about the heavenly things, they are the non-spiritual realities that belong to us in Christ. Listen now. Forgiveness is not a feeling. You get it? The love of God is not a feeling. The grace of God is not a feeling. The power of God is also not a feeling. The power of God is a fact. It's a reality. There are some things that are real, but you don't feel them, do you? How many of you have ever felt being alive before? You know, you say today, I feel life. You are just alive. I'm just what he says I am. I have what he says I have. So we are in that city. So listen carefully. So heaven to us is an experience. An experience today. Where we are, seated, settled, there already. I had Watchman Nee said, it is blessing you, Lord. Watchman Nee said, what agony for a man to desire to be in a place where he is already. Say, what agony. I imagine what people go through looking for holiness, looking for the power of God, looking for deliverance. I went to preach for a friend years back in Benin City. And he took joy in having, 1995, and he took joy in having people line up in his church. A lot of them. I said, what are they looking for? He said, deliverance. From what? He said, you know, these issues of life, deliverance. These are sons of God. And you queue them up. And you see some of them, they'll come. Young ladies, pretty, who should be prophesying, ministering to the sick. You are not yet married here. And you are past the biblical marriage age. That the Lord set in the spirit for you. Say, come out. There's a spirit disturbing you. And you see born again men coming out in undignifiedness, coming out, looking desperate. Why would they not get into wrong relationships? Because by coming out like that, guys are saying, oh, so you're looking for a husband. Can you come? See, this is wrong. This is wrong. One said, well, I've not been selling my goods properly. I've not been doing it because he punished me to minister to them. So I said, what? Say, I've not been. I said, where is your shop? Say, my shop was here. Where are your goods? They're at home. I said, let's cast out the demon. You'll have to take your goods to the shop. All the demons will run away. You getting my point? Sometimes it's just plain superstition. See, ah, what's happening this morning? As I stepped out, the gate just opened. Bah! And nobody opened it. God is saying something. You are going mad. Someone lives in you. He now wants to say something. He puts up a contact. Then he goes to the door. Are you feeling me? Are you feeling me? He just comes out. Baga. Boah! Can you feel me now? Or he goes to take one unbeliever. Slap my face. Boah! Are you hearing what I'm trying to tell you? When you don't hear it, I just give you a slap. I refuse superstition. I'm what he says I am. I walk in healthy, heavenly experiences. I walk in healthy and heavenly experiences. Glory, glory, glory. I determine my experiences. I am in charge here. I am in charge here. I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. Glory, 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 glory. What I don't need. It's for a man to be in a place and still be trying to get there. So true. Imagine what people have gone through when they conduct deliverance for them. Some people, all they needed was a counselor in business. Some, a doctor. Some, just watch a movie and relax. Some just need affection. Some just need money. Some common sense. Some read newspapers often. Praise God. And everything is turned into an attack. It's an attack. How would you have carried over 4 times in the same course? When you were supposed to be reading, you went for exam prayer success day. How would someone pass by prayer? Hallelujah. Say,
the Holy Spirit. I know there's some spurious testimonies we give. There was one idiotic testimony that flew around the body of Christ at the point that somebody didn't know the questions, and then somehow an angel said, "Go out. I'll write it for you." Then he went out. Another one said that he just wrote nothing and said, "Lord, take control." And then the lecturer just puts question marks, and it's called at 77. Now wait, you know how daft we can be? Theory is over 70. Objective is over 30. And please, I have done this marking before. It is one question, it's a column. Another question, a column. So, for you to have 77, that means it's on 7 over 10, over 20. So, do you get what I'm saying? Sometimes, Jesus washes your sins, not your brains. Use it. For many of us, as we enter church building like this, our brains just fly off. Past tense becomes future tense. Future tense becomes past tense. You know, sometimes some of the prayers you pray is receive sense. Indeed, I receive sense. I receive sense. Hallelujah. Imagine what people have passed through. Carrying handkerchiefs all over the place. Coconuts, sand. Imagine what they are. The truth of the matter is they get results. But they are no better than those who went to other idol worshippers to get results. The same effect happens on them. Listen to me. Every result people get using oil, people get using jars, is the same thing. God did not command anyone to call oil his spirit. Anyone that does it is idol worship. Do you hear what I'm saying? Having results is absolute trash. Any result that does not lead you to the revelation of Jesus is idol worship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are some results you get. You become more fearful, more superstitious. Moses walked in miracles, yet there was no faith. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? When Jesus does miracles in the four Gospels, they see the goodness of God. They see the glory of God. Nobody's in bondage. Nobody feels bad. Nobody wants to sow into his ministry. Amen. Are you still there? Hear this quickly, we're closing shortly. So the Spirit is in you. Any doctrine that puts the Spirit in a music, in songs, in a man of God, or it puts the Spirit of God in a building or in a bottle of oil is false doctrine. It deprives you of your own walk and walk in the Spirit. Hear me. I'm praying and I believe God that in 5 years from now, across the body of Christ in Nigeria, Asia, particularly, in Africa, there will be hundreds of thousands and millions of believers in the pew walking the power of God, walking in the supernatural. Because as the word of God goes around the nations and the revelation of who you are comes to you, you will do what you thought was exclusive to some people. Nothing is exclusive to anyone when it comes to the things of the spirits. Nothing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're going to see a few of that tonight. Are you here? So the Spirit is in you. Hear me out. God is in you. God is in you. You believe that? God is in you. You will never go to God for the rest of your life. You will never go to God for the rest of your life. You are where you should be. You are in God. And God is in you. When you pray, what you're doing is you are practicing His presence. You are not going before Him. You are practicing His presence. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Like I was saying on Sunday, I close gradually on this. Imagine the unworthiness consciousness that people have. I told you on Sunday, why would people participate in the things of the Spirit? The sense of unworthiness. Let me start from what I said. I said also, strife. Strife. Selfishness. You see, the reason why many people do not walk in the things of the Spirit is self. It's either there's something, maybe there's strife in the local church. And people are, you know, Paul says, when you come together, it's not to get better, but to get worse. 1 Corinthians 11:17. And everybody says, this one, that one. And then there's no flow of the glory of God in our midst. Because you know what? The glory of God cannot flow if we don't. We are that vessel. So if there's strife with us, there will be no flow.
There will be no flow. If there's strife between you, if four of us come together like this, all four of us, we come together, and then someone is thinking, someone doesn't make sense, someone is thinking this person, there will be no flow. Because God won't do anything outside what we do. So, selfishness, strife. Number two. And that's why in this church, I teach a lot about walking in love. And what the glory of God we have seen, and we're going to see more. Hallelujah. So when there's strife, it doesn't just hinder people, it hinders the whole church. Secondly, we said unworthiness consciousness. I said that on Sunday. That's why someone will say, I'm sick, and you will call your pastor to pray for him. Why couldn't you pray? You felt there's an unworthiness about you. The minute he said, there's this demon in this person, you looked about your past. I was a prostitute. I used to smoke. I used to drink. All that just comes to you. Even, it's not even when you were an unbeliever. Even as a Christian. Oh, I did this. There was a sister in our fellowship in 95. She was trying to conceive. She just joined. So I went to her house, and she hadn't been around for a while. So I went to her, I said, how are you? She said, I'm fine. And then she said, I want to confess something to you. But because she was so desperate, she went to an abolitionist, a juju man. And the guy gave her some concussion. She's born again. I don't look at her somehow, please. Born again, how can I born again? Anyway. So she goes there and she says, the guy gave her, she took those things, so she went to, she couldn't come to me. So she went to a prophet, another guy, and now gave her 40 days fasting. I said, to do what? So that I want to be broken. I want to be broken. You're already broken. What other break do you need after going to a herbalist? You are down. Say, I'm broken, I'm broken. How can we, with all the care and yet of things, we believe I am into dangers? So I was looking at God. Say, you're not serious. So I went downstairs and bought coke and biscuit. What about the thing I took? Have you not used toilet since? Have you started? Fasting call. You want to fast to talk to your father? Fast to talk to someone who lives in you forever? You will fast for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? When you fall into sin, remind yourself who you are in Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? What do you do? That's why confession of sins is not in the epistles. It's a needless confession. It does nothing to God and nothing to you. In fact, it does worse to you. God doesn't hear confession of sins. Amen. His eyes doesn't behold evil. Revelation 1:10. John said, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. The word there is ginomai. In other words, I switched. So I can switch. We're in the best of two worlds. I can switch. I can be talking with you now. And I want to do something in the Spirit. And we know we're talking. I'm trying to do something in the Spirit. I can switch. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says I can speak in tongues. So I'm talking to you. And I want to quickly handle some things in the Spirit. I'm trying to find out something. And I'm talking to you. I don't have to get a phone. I just go and move. And I've switched. As I do that a little bit more, I'm switching. I begin to see things. I begin to sense things. You know, I'm in heaven. I'm in heavenly things. I don't say, Holy Ghost, fire, follow me. No. I'm just switching. John said, I was in the Spirit. A better version said, I became in the Spirit. Or I switched. And John said, as I switched, I heard behind me. And I saw. See, I hear. And I speak. And I see. On the day of Pentecost, everybody in the church saw. Everybody in the church heard. Everybody. They saw. Everybody heard. I said it on Sunday, I repeat myself. When it comes to flowing in the heavenly realities that we have, in the things of this we hear as well, start with the easiest for you. Which one is easiest for you? Start out there. One will lead to the other. You know why? Because they are all in the same place. So start with the easiest. One will lead to the other. But because people have been taught things about tongues, for example, tongues is, we speak in tongues, Satan is confused, even though they are also confused. Deliverance is at a, amen. Let's speak in tongues. Calm down. It's a language. It's not for vibration. That means you're driving. You're in there. Praise God. You're walking. You're in there. Are you here? Are you out there? You're trying to sort out something. You're in there. You. That's the easiest for us. Praise God. Because speaking is the easiest thing for you. That's the easiest thing. You know, because you control what you say. You don't control what you see, but you control what you say. And you know what? That's how to get into this world. Just talking to him. Talking to him. Are you doing that right now? You doing that right now? He's talking to him. Talking to him. Close it here. Talking to him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Talking to him. John 14. John 14. Jesus said in that day, John 14, 20, you will know that I am in my Father, and I in you, and you in me. Say, I am in him. When believers die, they are in Christ, going in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. I wish I could share more on that. So hear this. Hear this well. In that day you will find that I am in you and you are in me. I'm going to give you one final scripture and we're going to practice that this evening. Amen. 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 Two things that aim that people from flowing in the things of the Spirit. Strive and sin consciousness. Self-consciousness. And I prayed by my eyes. And you know, some men of God can shakara you. I just came down from the mountain and I went to the valley and I moved to the ocean. I saw the Lord. Jesus said, you will neither go to this mountain to worship. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Do you know that you can pray in tongues 24 hours a day without going anywhere in your regular activities? I've done it several times. Without going anywhere. That's the beauty of who we are in Christ. And you've had a long communication with the Father. You've interacted over the future. You've talked about the past. You are delving into things in the present. And then things begin to come to light. And you didn't go to anywhere. Because where you are is where He is. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3. I want us to read this as we close. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Someone ready to minister in the Spirit tonight? Anyone here tonight? Woo! You know you can hear and you can see. You can hear and you can see. You don't go anywhere to hear. You don't go anywhere to see. You just stay where you are. Hallelujah. Stay where you are. It's when you go out of where you are that you see nothing. You now be seeing Jesus saying that only 5,000 will come to heaven because you left where you are. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Hallelujah. To think everything as of ourselves. Hallelujah. I'm not sufficient of myself. To think anything of myself. But my sufficiency is of God. I love the words Paul interpreted here. It's the word I cannot. He said, I am not sufficient to think anything of myself. I cannot. I am not qualified by myself. But my sufficiency, my qualification is God. Oh, who has made us able? He used that word 3 times. 4 times. I am not qualified to think anything of myself as qualified. But my qualification is God. That is, every time I'm looking, why am I able to do it? God is at work in me. How am I able? God is at work in me. Our sufficiency is of God. Who has made us what? Say, I am able. God is able. I am able. You know, where you are now, you can interact with spiritual realities. Where you are now, if you move from here to here, you see the same place you are in. If you move from where you are and you go 600 kilometers, you are still where you are. If you are eating hot pepper, you are still where you are. Where you are, you have spiritual realities. You can cast out demons in another nation from where you are. Glory to God. Let's sing in His praise. Sing in His praise. Sit. Just sing in His praise.